This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat?
We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Denmark has banned several varieties of a popular South Korean instant noodle brand for being too spicy, advising consumers that the fiery food poses a poisoning risk. Well, what do you do when you eat something that's a little too spicy? We've had all sorts of suggestions, from a bit of vodka to ice cream to milk to cucumber today. Well, why is it that when we reach for the water jug, it doesn't put out the fire every time? Dr. Daniel Eldridge is a senior lecturer in chemistry from Swinburne University of Technology. Daniel, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you going, Warren?
I'm well, thank you. Do you like your food on the spicy side?
Look, I'm a disappointment to my father this way. I tend to like mild to medium, maybe a little hot if I'm brave, but yeah, he likes the good stuff, not me.
What causes the burning sensation?
Yeah, look, the burning comes because most of these chili-based foods that we eat, from chili peppers and paprika and quite a few other of these fiery spices, they contain a substance called capsaicin. This is the culprit. This is the thing that causes us all this grief. Yeah. And the reason for that is that when we consume it, what it does is it binds to sites, to receptors inside our mouth, which then send a signal to our brain to say, wait, there's something really hot in here. So that is the problem. It's this capsaicin.
So the capsaicin, if it's binding to these receptors, is it just a sensation, or is it actually burning these receptors?
No, it is not burning them at all. It's not doing any damage that way. It is just a sensation. Like, some people even think of it as sort of almost being a trick. I mean, of course, that's not literally the case. It's not going out of its way to do that. Mm. But there's no excess temperature in your mouth. It just feels that way.
No, I wonder why it is that then we start sweating as well. I know I do. I get the sensation. I think, here I go. And it's like going up a roller coaster. Up we go. The sweat starts on the forehead. It's almost as though the body has interpreted it that the temperature has risen.
That's exactly right. Your body doesn't know the difference. As far as it's concerned, there's something very hot. And so, if I overdo it, I get the sweats and your body's trying to cool you back down. Yeah, it doesn't know any better.
Now, Daniel, one of the things that I do every time, and I know it doesn't work, but I tend to do it, is reach for the drinking water. And if there's ice in it, the ice cube goes in my mouth and I just suck on the ice cube until it disappears. Why doesn't that alleviate the heat?
Look, it's so tempting. Why wouldn't you? The water's often right there and you're used to having a cool drink of water. In fact, some people even say, look, while the ice is in there, I get that momentary sense of, I can feel the cold from the ice. But yeah, as soon as it's gone, you're back where you started. The reason for this is because this capsaicin that we're talking about, the culprit, it is really, it's an oil, or is it oily by nature? And I imagine many of you have heard of the adage that oil and water don't mix.
Yes.
That's exactly what's going on here. That water has no interest in mixing with this oily capsaicin, so it can't lift it up off those receptors and can't wash it away.
So that's why it stays there and keeps burning us.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, the water's doing nothing, just flows on by and the capsaicin stays there until it's removed by other means.
We're chatting with Dr. Daniel Eldridge, senior lecturer in chemistry from Swinburne University of Technology, about why water doesn't help with spicy food. Okay, Daniel, the big question, what should we reach for then, if not the water?
All right. So the number one, which I suspect a few people have had handed down from generation to generation, is milk. It is the gold standard. Yeah, and the reason for that really is it's twofold. The first thing is milk does contain some other oil or fat-based substances, which does mix with other oily things like the capsaicin, so that can help lift it off. But the other real trick that milk or dairy products have is they contain a protein called casein, and this protein is really good at wrapping up these capsaicin molecules and then lifting them back away into the liquid and off your receptors.
So if we're talking about milk, if we had a milk that had all the fat removed, that would have less of an impact, would it, because that oil has been removed?
Absolutely, it would. So again, the oil is part of what makes that milk effective. If it still had some of the protein content, some of the casein, it could still certainly be effective. But most studies seem to indicate it's a combination of those two that are responsible for milk just being that cut above most other solutions.
What about yogurt, Daniel?
It's exactly the same principle. Yogurt's a really good option. In fact, quite a few people note that in some cultures with their spicy curries, they often serve yogurt-based dips to cool things down, although I don't know whether they just introduced the delicious dip and then decided it's also good at cooling things down or the other way around. I don't know about you, but if I try my hand at making a curry at home and it's too hot, one of the first things I'll do is mix some yogurt in to try and take the edge off it. Yeah. So yeah, no, the dairy products tend to do a really good job because of that combo of containing those oils and containing that casein protein.
Let's say we're lactose intolerant and there's no lactose-free sort of dairy around us. Would using some oil have the same effect?
So as unappetizing as it sounds, oil certainly would help.
It would.
Again, probably not as much as the milk, because again, it doesn't have that protein to help. But the whole oil will mix with oil concept means that it will help some lift some of that capsaicin away. But it's a pretty unsavory idea to consider. I mean, you could try doing the swirl and spit it out. Other options for people in that situation, a bread is a common one people discuss as helping take the edge off, a nice starchy bread. And the other one, which pops up again and again in studies, is having an effect, although no one has completely nailed down why, is sugar or sugary drinks, really sugary. Yeah, so less clear on exactly why that works, but plenty of people report that it seems to help.
So reach for the fridge in the restaurant and grab the sugary drink if there's no milk around.
Well, look, I mean, if you're getting to their fridge, I'd go for that milk anyway, or I'm quite partial to ice cream. That's got all the things you need to make it work. Yeah, so that's worth a shot.
I'm sure they're used to the red-faced, sweating person sort of coming to the counter. Quickly, give me something. It's burning.
I've certainly been out with dinner before, for dinner before, and had someone bring over the emergency milk for someone at the table. So, yeah, I think they've seen it before.
Before we let you go, Daniel, what about beer or alcohol? For me, it seems to intensify the burn, but some people have said no, it doesn't. What's your opinion?
Yeah, look, it's always interesting hearing people's opinions on it. And obviously, what's true for you is true for you. Mm. As far as the science goes, though, I'm going to disappoint a lot of people here. Beer and wine taste fantastic with your favorite curry. But in terms of getting rid of that capsaicin, alcohol, pure alcohol, does a great job of dissolving it. It mixes very readily with that. But unless you're drinking a pretty unusual beer, it's probably 4 to 6% alcohol. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is mostly water. And as we discussed back at the top, that water just doesn't do a very good job. So beer and wine, not really very effective at removing it. Someone normally then asks, well, what if I drink something stronger? I mean, sooner or later, you'll probably find something that'll have enough alcohol to work. But one thing that people then eventually start saying is, oh, look, it's helping, but I don't know if it's because it's removing the burn or if I'm just too many shots down.
So pretty much Denmark, are they right in claiming that the Korean noodles pose a poisoning risk, or is it just it seems like it's poisoning us?
Look, it's going to be a really interesting one to see how it pans out. I think the answer is we don't know yet. I've only seen one article which has reported an estimate of the hotness level, if you like, of the noodles that they're talking about. Now, the hotness level that I've been reading, it's certainly hot enough that if you weren't used to eating spicy foods, then you would absolutely have a pretty adverse reaction to it. You wouldn't enjoy the experience. And there are certainly plenty of cases reported where people have jumped well beyond what they're comfortable with and gotten themselves into strife. But similarly, again, if that value that's been reported is accurate, then there are also, plenty of enthusiasts who would have that or perhaps even more. So I think it's really going to depend on whether that value that's being thrown around in media stories so far is true. So I'm sure the company who made them will, go and look at that. These spicy ingredients are in there and check whether it's okay. Look, it might be a case of some people just biting off more than they can chew. Ha, ha, ha. Or it might be that there's actually something unusual with a batch. We're going to have to wait and see.
Daniel, someone's just said, can you please ask about burning in the tummy? I assume that's a different type of burning as opposed to the one that this capsaicin does on our receptors in our tongue.
Yes and no. Those receptors that we're talking about in the mouth, they are in other places in your body as well.
Is that why you can get it the next day?
That's a very tactful way of putting it. Yes, that is exactly why you get it the next day. But when it comes to in the stomach, that can also be because the capsaicin is also an irritant. And so for many, it can trigger sort of indigestion and heartburn and stomach pain if you sort of overdo what you're normally comfortable with.
You know what I'm going to do, Daniel? I'm going to take with me a little vial that contains a bit of olive oil, like an emergency break this glass next time it happens, in case there's no milk.
I guess my only suggestion to you would be, are you sure you don't want to replace that with some UHT milk?
Ah, yes. Actually, that's an even better idea, of course.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to taste better than the olive oil.
Fantastic. Daniel, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Likewise, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Daniel Eldridge, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry from Swinburne University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.